Sabrahan was a smallish man, even shorter than Thirsk, with quick, deft hands, who was extraordinarily efficient and not at all shy about bullying his admiral into remembering to do little things like eat or sleep. He was also an excellent cook, who could probably have earned a lucrative living as a chef if he'd chosen to, and Thirsk had total confidence in his ability to manage the Earl's wine cellar and spirits. Despite that, the valet had never been popular with the other members of Thirsk's staff, domestic or naval. They appreciated his good qualities, but they were also only too well, one might say painfully well, aware of his vanity and second-hand arrogance. Sabrahan was far more concerned with the deference due to someone of Thirsk's birth and rank than the Earl himself had ever been. He'd been known to drive the staffs of inns and hotels to the edge of sanity, with demands for fresh linens, clean towels, hot water now, and no excuses, if you please. He was completely capable of doing the same thing aboard ship, and he had a well-earned reputation for browbeating the valets and stewards of mere ship's captains mercilessly. None of which even considered his legendary rows with the cooks and pursers of various flagships over the years. Thirsk was as well aware of his valet's foibles as anyone, and Sabrahan knew better than to try anything of the sort in the Earl's presence. At the same time, Thirsk was also aware of how difficult it would have been to find an equally capable replacement. Besides, Sabrahan had been with him for almost 8 years. Now, the valet pattered quickly across the thick carpet covering the deck, set a large silver tray with 2 decanters of whiskey and 1 of brandy on a side table, and turned to face Thirsk.
"I've brought the Stallman, the Waken, and the Thariston, my lord," he said, indicating the decanters. "Will that be satisfactory?"
"Eminently," Thirsk agreed.
"I've also informed the galley that you will be requiring hot chocolate for your guests, should they so desire," Sabrahan continued. "And as you instructed, luncheon will be ready to serve at 14 o'clock promptly."
"Good."
Thirsk bobbed his head, then looked past the valet as Martin Von Wick, his personal secretary and senior clerk, entered the day cabin. The secretary was considerably taller than Sabrahan, despite the slight stoop of his shoulders, and he was a bit nearsighted. Despite that, he was one of the best secretaries Thirsk had ever been fortunate enough to possess, and he and Sabrahan hated one another cordially.
"Well, fair's fair," the Earl thought dryly, as he watched the two of them very carefully not glaring at one another in his presence. "I think just about everyone hates Pierre, really, and much as I hate to admit it, he gives them plenty of justification."
"If you're satisfied, my lord, I shall withdraw and attend to the arrangements," the valet said.
Thirsk nodded in agreement, and Sabrahan drew himself up, bowed slightly, and withdrew with stately majesty, somehow managing to completely ignore Von Wick's existence in the process.
"Langhorne," Thirst thought, "and I thought the blood between me and Thorast was bad."
He was still chuckling at the thought when Lieutenant Bardolon knocked on his cabin door once more.
"Enter," Thirsk said, and crossed the cabin quickly to greet his visitors.
Powell Holland was about Thirsk's age, a foot or so taller, and considerably less weather-worn looking. Auxiliary Bishop Stiphon Mike was about midway between Thirsk and Holland in height, with thick silver hair and lively brown eyes. He was a vigorous man, radiating a sense of leashed energy, although Thirsk had been told the bishop had a serious weakness for sweetbreads. According to the Earl's sources, that weakness for sweets was one reason Mike was so fanatical about exercising. Those same sources said Mike did his best to conceal that weakness, apparently in the belief that it went poorly with the Order of Schuler's reputation for austerity and self-discipline. For himself, Thirsk found it rather reassuring,
an indication that, Schulerite or not, official intendant of the fleet or not, the bishop was also a human being. "My lord," the Earl greeted Mike first, bending over his extended hand to lightly kiss the bishop's ring of office. Then he straightened and held out his hand to Holland, who smiled broadly as he took it.
"Powell?"
"Admiral," Mike responded with a smile. "It's good to see you, although I must confess that the trip across the harbor was somewhat more brisk than I had allowed myself to hope it might be."
"I'm sorry to hear that, my lord. As you know..."
"Please, my lord," the bishop said, raising his left hand, index finger extended. "I'm perfectly well aware of the reasons, the official reasons, for our meeting out here."
"My lord," Thirsk said a bit cautiously, and the bishop chuckled. It was not a particularly amused sound, however, and those lively brown eyes were narrow.
"I said I'm aware of the official reason we're meeting aboard your flagship, rather than in a comfortable office somewhere ashore," he said now. "And I'm also aware of the unofficial reasons, such as the list of who else might have been attending any meeting in the aforesaid comfortable office ashore."
"I see."
Thirsk faced the bishop, his own eyes calm, and Mike studied his expression for a long moment. Then the churchman smiled again, a bit crookedly.
"By an odd turn of chance, my Lord Admiral, I happen to agree with your strategy in this instance. I realize I shouldn't say that. For that matter, I suppose I really shouldn't admit I'm aware of the bad blood between you and Duke Thorast at all. Unfortunately, it serves no one's purposes for me to do anything of the sort."